Drake May walking in here right now as we get ready to sit down and talk with him. This has been an interesting season so far in general, I think, for this team, with a lot of questions in various aspects and various things. But one thing that everybody agrees on, including us and national people and everything else, is that you, Drake, may have been a bright spot on this offense and someone that, if you're a Patriots fan, everybody should be very excited about, as Drake May joins us right now. Are you hearing all of the, I don't even want to call it criticism because it's not criticism. Are you hearing all this love that you're getting? Like, is this something you're aware of? Because everybody, Gronkowski, Mark Sanchez on the broadcast, everyone who talks about you is just glowing terms these days. Is that, that must be nice, right?
Yeah, I try not to read into much of that. I think, you know, probably the biggest time I notice is, the fan base on Sundays in the games. I think they've been great. You know, even at away games, I feel like a lot of Pats fans have showed out. So I think I can, we try to help them out and put some wins in the win column. I think that's the biggest thing I'm, we need to do a better job of. But I think we're in some games and, a few plays away from having some more dubs in the win column.
But if we make you aware of it, if you haven't heard some of it, I know a lot of people will be like, oh, my mom sent something or my brother sent something. Although with your brothers, it would probably be the other way. They'd probably making fun of you. Does that type of positive reinforcement, does it drive you to be better? Like, how do you take positive reinforcement?
I appreciate it. I think it's especially some of the the media guys, or you said Gronk said something like, next time I see Gronk or hopefully meet him, sometime, just thank him and appreciate it. I think more of a don't take too high when you feel like you're playing well, and don't get too low when things aren't going your way. So it's kind of a tough battle because I do feel like I'm making some plays and we're moving the ball offensively. I don't think it's turning into wins, so I think we need to figure that part out. But at the same time, I think we got those guys and in that room, a lot of different guys making plays, and I think we're just fluke plays away, and it's a bummer really to how the really the end of the game has ended up, because I feel like a chance with the ball in my hands, that's what I want, and I want the ball to be in my hands, a chance to win it, and just gotta come up on the right side of it.
All right, don't worry, we'll get to the end of the game. But first, Drake May is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com, and by Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Get next day delivery with removal and disposal at Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. All right, you brought it up, so I feel like it's fair game now, of course, to talk about that throw at the end of the game. Douglas didn't turn around. I heard you talking about it afterwards, what you saw there, and a miscommunication is how that was sort of classified. You seem to have a pretty good rapport and a pretty good relationship with your wide receivers. They all speak very highly of you. How do you get these kind of miscommunications sort of out of the huddle and execute a little bit better on those type of plays at the end of games?
Yeah, kind of like I said, post game, just talking through more scenarios throughout the week and certain plays, and I think it's a tough situation. You got to feel like you got to make a big play at the end, so. Just be on the same page with our guys, and I think me and Pop were, seeing the same thing, just kind of on different kind of route yardage was kind of what he was thinking and what I was thinking. So, like I said, just talking through more.
Did you guys talk about the play afterwards? Did you sort of get on the?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. But me and Pop, we're open books. I don't know if y'all ever talked to Pop, but he's a bunch of energy and he's always got something to say. And no harm or no bad vibes between either of us. I think he's a great player, made a lot of great plays, and I think y'all saw that.
This is going to sound probably harsh and maybe a little dictator-like, but do the receivers have to see it the way you see it? Like, is that the solution? Like, everybody needs to see it through your eyes?
I try not to be that way. I think that, sometimes as a quarterback, I think that's kind of the tendency. Hey, you see it, the way Drake's seeing it. But I try to, see, hey, they may want to route, this way against this coverage or a certain way. I try to let them kind of play their way into some strengths. I don't think that play was an example of of that. I think just trying to be an open book, and hey, if they want to run this route this way versus man coverage versus zone, I'm all for it. Just getting guys open.
The way the game started, your first couple of drives, you had a couple of plays we were just talking about that were pretty cool to watch on TV. I don't know if they feel the same way when you're out there actually doing them, but the jump pass, that sort of sidearm throw you had there and things like that, that all seems to come very naturally to you. That's not something that seems like you're going out of your way to try and do for the cameras or anything like that. How did you sort of develop those types of throws?
I think just playing different sports growing up. I played baseball and played a lot of different sports growing up, so just different arm angles and trying different stuff out and having older brothers that did some cool things in sports, that I saw. Hey, let me try that, or hey, let me, playing shortstop, flick it a second base for a double play or something like that. So just playing different sports growing up and just playing ball out there.
Early on, you were very accurate, and it seemed like every throw was kind of right where the receiver needed it. Are you growing in that area? Because I know that was some people had criticisms about, you know, short throw accuracy, different things. Even you, I think, mentioned one of our first interviews, like, oh, I missed pop over the middle. I was just off on that. Has that accuracy, do you feel like, improved as you've played more? Or was yesterday a good day? Are there days where it's just there and some days it's not? How does that work?
I feel like I've been, you know, pretty accurate pretty much, you know, my whole career. I think, you know, going back to college, not, you know, I have a short career here in the NFL, but you know, I think, you know, getting, you know, used to pop over the middle is just something that you haven't played with him much. I haven't got many reps with him over the middle in a real game and with live bullets. So, you know, I feel like I got a good rapport with those guys and where they're going to be at. And I think the big thing we talk about in the quarterback room is ball placement. I think I can lead the yards after catch. So I think we showcased that well on Sunday.
What thing or what aspect of your game do you think has gotten better over these 4 weeks? And what do you think you still need to work on the most?
Gotten better of, I think, just taking what defense gives me. I think I always need the home run. I think I've done a good job of that. We got some plays, like on Sunday, where, hey, we're splitting out a bubble. We're splitting out little things, a little, you know, spot route at 5 yards that are turning into big plays. So just taking what defense gives me and not kind of trying to, you know, hunt up, you know, the deep shot or the big play or the scramble play every time. And then just handling situations better. I think, you know, third down, we end up kicking a field goal down there in the red zone. They brought cover zero and maybe had pop on a shallow to get in the score, and handling kind of the short yardage runs of, you know, maybe pump up the guys some more to try to, you know, get a first down. We have some big short yardage runs that we ended up capitalizing on. So a little situational football that I think can help us.
Speaking of short yardage runs, we were actually having a discussion before you came in. There's been this talking point, like, no designed runs, and, you know, you were coming off a concussion and you've been scrambling a lot, doing different things. Do you think there are opportunities for you to have design runs moving forward this season, moving forward whenever in the future?
Like on 4th and 2, for example.
Like 4th and goal from the 2.
I do think there's a spot for that. You know, I feel like I'm a, you know, big kid, big athletic kid that I ran for, you know, a bunch of yards in college, and I've been making some plays with my feet here in the NFL. So I think there's definitely a time and spot and place for it. But, you know, I think what we've been doing and giving the ball to Mondre is not always a bad option. Mondre's a lot better runner than I am.
All right. Well, you probably heard about this over the course of the week. It was a big story that the team owners had been calling around looking for assistance, maybe some help on bringing you along and sort of your development from maybe outside the organization. Is that something that you took to heart? Is that something you think is necessary? And how do you feel the team has been sort of developing you so far early on? It's obviously early in your career, as you mentioned, but how do you sort of see that going so far, and would you welcome outside help?
Yeah, I haven't heard really much about that, and quite honestly, I haven't even heard any of that. I think, you know, the guys in the room and, you know, AVP and TC are doing, you know, a great job. I feel like I'm prepared. I feel like I'm playing on time and, you know, making plays. I think there's little situational things that just come with, you know, getting the experience and being a 22-year-old rookie in the NFL. So I think what we got, you know, in that offense and those players in there, I think we're making plays, and I don't really think you're not too much to say about that.
Along those lines, one of the things you've been really consistent with is post-game, somebody will ask you, oh, 4th and 2, field goal, punt, whatever, 2-point conversion, and you have been very supportive of your coaches. If coaches say it, we go along with it. Where did that mentality come from? You seem like a good soldier. I mean, is that just the way you've always been growing up? If coach says it, I do it. Because we've had discussions around here. Even Coach Mayo said a lot of modern players are why guys. Like, you can't just tell them what to do. Sometimes they'll ask why, and then you have to explain it. You don't seem like a why guy. You seem like a yes coach.
I think at this point, yeah, I think just the way I grew up with my parents and how they kind of handled the household and raised us, just being a, hey, if my parents tell us to do it, you know, it's a no-brainer. You know, what they ask of us, and being humble and saying yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, little things like that, kind of credit to my parents, and being a good soldier, or kind of not having reasons also comes along with being a rookie quarterback and not having too much. But I think there is times where, hey, if I want to voice opinion of going for it, I think down the road that I think they would respect that and listen.
After your guys' last loss, you obviously had the big speech where you addressed the team, and a lot of people had a lot of positive things to say about that. You guys end up winning a game. Is this the type of game that we just saw on Sunday that prompts another speech from you? Is that something you're going to be doing for the rest of the year? How's that? How do you sort of square that up as a leader on the team?
Yeah, I don't think you've got to kind of, you know, pick the dates and pick them ahead of time. Think of it, you know, if it's something needed to be said, and you say it. So I don't think it's something where, hey, I need to do something next, you know, this Wednesday or Thursday. I think it's just something that kind of comes to mind and is based off how we practice.
Not to bring up another painful play, but we should probably ask about the fumble. Looked like you were kind of ready to throw and then kind of brought it back down, and then they ran a game up front. They were able to get there. what were you seeing, the opportunity to get rid of the ball as opposed to not get rid of it? Just talk us through what happened there.
Yeah, I could think just got to get it out, you know, third down. And if it happens to be incomplete, then it's incomplete and we punt it away. I think can't take a sack, especially in our own territory, and give the defense in that spot. So Booty had a stop route, and he beat the guy off the release so bad he was ahead of him. So just got to either throw it over his head or give him a chance. I think he still ended up beating him.
Got the Miami Dolphins coming up here. It's a team that you guys have seen already. Not a game that you played in, but after seeing them and sort of seeing what they do from the sideline, is that useful for you? I mean, it's the second time seeing them. It's a division game. Do you take into account things you saw Jacoby doing out there in the first game, and how do you incorporate that into your game plan?
Yeah, I think you go back and watch the first game and see what they did against us and how they try to exploit us defensively, and also get a great chance to see how our players played against their players, kind of personnel-wise, how they guarded our receivers or tackled our guys in space. So you can see a lot of different things with, playing an opponent, twice in 1 year.
How are your mom's hands? You brought up that throw to low that she could.
Yeah, my mom's a good athlete. Yeah, she's got good hands. So yeah, I'm sure she probably would have caught
it. Is she? Is she a legit athlete?
Yeah, she's a good athlete, so she probably would have one-handed it.
All right, the quarterback question of the week brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. This one comes to us from Doug in Alston, who asked, Drake, who was your favorite quarterback to watch growing up?
Ooh, I grew up in Charlotte, and I love the Panthers. So, Cam Newton was, right in my kind of younger age, and I was a big fan of Cam Newton. So I probably have to say Cam, and always, obviously, respected the guys who won. So guys like Peyton and Brady kind of in those matchups, growing up was kind of the heyday of me in elementary school and middle school. So my favorite player going to see was Cam, and then those guys that won and played in big-time games.
Cam is someone you've been compared to, by the way. I mean, big, tall quarterback, big arm, mobile, that type of thing. Did you model your game after him growing up at all?
That's true. I'd hope somebody say that, the way I run the football. But I think Cam had some great years in Carolina and really put the Panthers on the map.
Along those lines, did you get a chance to cross paths with Matthew Stafford yesterday? He's a guy that's been doing it for a long
time. I
did,
yeah. Yeah, I was a big fan of Stafford, and obviously hate how well he threw it against us on Sunday. He makes some nice throws, so told him I was a big fan, and obviously grew up watching him play on Thanksgiving.
He was one of those guys that was at the forefront, it feels like, of the arm angles and the off platform. I know a lot of people credit Mahomes with that, but I think Stafford was doing that for a long time, too.
Yeah, I think he's probably doing it before, Stafford and doing the no-looks and some of that. So, special talent. It was fun to watch, him on the sideline, sadly. But I think just watching him on Sundays in general is pretty cool.
Any of your coaches ever give you a hard time over those? I know Mahomes is very – he said Andy Reid actually pushes him to test stuff, try stuff, underhand, whatever, behind the back. Have you had any bad experiences with no look or arm angles where any of your coaches were like, yeah, don't do that again?
Knock on wood, not really. So.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jinx you.
Yeah, we'll see. It's but early I in the definitely season. Think there's some different stuff in my bag that hasn't been shown yet.
Oh, I like the teaser.
All right, I like that too.
Left-handed, right. Behind the back, anything that crazy? We'll see.
Nah, I don't know, but we'll see. It just happens. So,
if you do throw a behind-the-back touchdown pass, can you say, hey, that was for you guys on WEEI?
WEEI, that's for you.
We'd appreciate that. Cool. All right, that's Drake May, quarterback of the Patriots. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
All right, there goes Drake May. So there you go. The report from Burt Breer, which was then confirmed later in the week, or maybe not confirmed, but co-signed later in the week by Tommy Curran on our airwaves, on our show, that the Crafts were looking for some help, looking for a little assistance, a little guidance to make sure they don't repeat some of the mistakes that they made with Mac Jones. By the way, there's people on the internet mad that we even asked them about it. That I don't understand why you'd be mad about that. It's a story. It was out there, and I wanted to hear his reaction to it if he even had one, and he didn't really have one. He gave you the boilerplate answer. He said, well, the guys are doing a great job, and I haven't really heard much about that, and that's basically what I was expecting him to say. But that wasn't asked to, like, hey, you're going to rip your coaches or do you think your coaches stay or anything? It was, there's a story about you. I mean, it's about him. And what do you think about it? I mean, it's a very – I'm surprised there was any sort of backlash at all.
And the Texas – sorry, Andy, but the Texas saying, like, oh, it's been debunked. No, it really hasn't.
It's not been debunked. It's been denied.
Exactly. They're not going to come out and say, yes, we are. We're totally looking for help.
How could it be debunked? Like, what are we talking about?
Right. No, it's not been debunked at all. It's been denied.
Right.
He denied it. But
it's like when I say I'm not sure.
There's been stronger. I mean, that wasn't a very – listen, Alex Van Pelt was asked about it, and he said, no, we don't need any help.
Right.
He didn't say, that's not true, or that's fake, or whatever.
He was annoyed to the point where it almost validated it.
Yeah.
Or at least he thinks there could be truth to it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, because if you just, if you think something is total BS garbage, mm-hmm. don't you just kind of, like, ignore it, not really right. care? He seemed like he was pushing back against it, but the reality is Drake May is a kind of a spokesman for the team.
Mm-hmm.
That comes with the starting quarterback role. And he's the centerpiece of the story.
Right.
Like, they want him to be best he can be. They want to develop him the best way. Obviously, ask him. And you asked it, and I knew it was going to elicit a softball response.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because he's been so adamantly supportive of Alex Van Pelt.
Right.
And that's where we kind of got into. I asked him about, like, being the good soldier type thing. And, you know, he says it goes back to his parents. If your parents told you to do it, you do it. And it's funny because I keep going back to this. I think his mentality would have fit so well with Bill Belichick.
I agree. And it's a shame because Bill wouldn't have drafted him.
Right. It's this weird, like, ironic, I guess. Alanis, check that for me. Not sure. But he ends up with the coach who set his whole program saying, you know, kids today are why people. In my day, you could just tell somebody to do it. Now they ask why. And now he's got a franchise quarterback mm-hmm. who's like, no, if you tell me to do it, I'll do it. Because it's like, you're like my mom and my dad. You tell me to do it. It's the right thing to do.
It's like rain. On your wedding day.
Yeah, it's true.
Or the good advice that you just didn't take, which none of that stuff's actually ironic.
No, I know. That's why I always
so
use
So Alanis, she's not the one you ask about because she got them all wrong. Yeah, I mean, she had no idea. Great song, though. Great video. Remember that video with the four Alanises in the car and they're driving around? That was a great video.
Is that the one where she has the long hair covering her nude body?
No, that was not that song. I know what you're talking about, but it wasn't that one. Isn't it ironic is when they're driving, it's like four of them. And they're all wearing different colored sweaters.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
They're all driving around in the car, remember?
They have hats on?
Yes.
Winter hats and everything?
They have different colored hats on.
I do remember
that. I don't even know why I like that video so much, but I like that video.
Yeah,
it was a good video.
I thought that was like a creepy guy thing where like she looked hot or like something and it wasn't.
Well, I was like 13 when it came out.
Did you have a thing for her?
I mean, you know, sure.
Had a thing for anything that moved.
I basically did. She scared me, though.
Puby.
Like when You Oughta Know came out, like, that was intimidating for a teenage boy to hear all that stuff. You know, you hear the song now and it's still kind of intimidating. Like she was out there. She was
putting
that out
there. A lot of Alanis
takes
stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, listen,
I didn't see this coming.
That
song in reference.
That song was a mega hit. I mean, that song was a monster.
The whole album
everywhere.
Jagged Little Pill, right?
Yeah. And that, but You Oughta Know, which first of all was about Dave Coulier. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah, Dave Coulier. They dated and then they broke up. And then she wrote the most angry, bitter breakup song.
Is that the one about in a movie theater and
yes.
stuff?
Yes.
Are you
in the
thinking
theater.
Of me?
Yes. Easy. All that. Yes. That's about Uncle Joey. Or not Uncle Joey. What was his name on the show? Not Joey.
Jesse.
No. It was Joey. Yeah. Right. And Jesse was Jesse. John Stamos was Jesse. Yes. Right. Of course. but yeah, that's who that song was about,
okay?
Which cut it out. You know, that
yes.
guy drove
and
Alanis Morissette.
He had like a bear puppet or something later, and he
yes.
had like a morning show mm-hmm. or something, did the weather, the whole thing.
Absolutely.
How'd we get here?
Alanis Morissette is how we got here.
Yeah,
and things that are ironic. And it is, in
and
a way,
being chastised by emailers and texters because
and all
apparently
that, yeah.
we asked the starting quarterback a question about the organization going outside the organization to develop the starting quarterback.
Right.
Weird, I know.
Very
it's like,
weird.
It's like it's actually relevant to the topic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do the – where does this go?
This?
No, like
the topic we're talking about right now?
Where, like, has the pushback from Van Pelt and Mayo, does that, like, basically tell the executive level, like, how about we don't do this, we don't need this, or are they still going to do their thing and this still could be a something that comes into play come second week of January when they're done playing? Like, how do you feel like this, is this a negative? Has this created some internal issue? Mayo was annoyed, right?
Oh, yeah. You could tell that ruffled his feathers.
Yeah, that's
that
what
definitely
I thought,
ruffled
too.
His feathers, and not in a way that it's like, oh, this isn't true and I can't believe they're making up stories, in a way that was like, I don't, you know, this shouldn't be the case. That's basically what he was saying. He said it's not true, but he was like, isn't he developing well? Don't you guys think he's developing well? Can't you validate my development of him and
right.
the good job that we're doing? Why would they be looking for extra help? And it's like, okay, great. Like, I kind of agree with you, but that's not a question for Greg Hill. It's a question for the Crafts, right? Like, if the story is accurate, and I believe Breer and I believe Kern, I have no reason to think that those guys would make something up or that they would just pull a story out of thin air. So I'm sorry. Gerard Mayo has more incentive to say that's not true than those two guys have to report it.
Is it possible that it just sort of got lost in translation, inflated to more than it was? You know,
that's possible, sure,
you know,
yeah.
An owner... an owner, a Jonathan, a Robert, they're with a lot of people. Is it possible, you know, owners meetings, they're all there.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, hey, how did you guys, you know, Jordan Love or whatever, whoever you want to ask about. And then that just kind of got back to Breer, and it's like, well, they're not really, they were kind of just talking.
Right, they're not holding job interviews.
Like,
you know,
right,
yeah, like, they were just talking. Yeah,
I mean,
it's possible.
Isn't, yeah, I
like your earlier theory.
Ooh, what was it?
It wasn't a specific theory, but it was the idea that this all leaked because some of the people that they were talking to maybe wanted that don't have a job right now or don't have a job that they like, and they know that if they...
Like Josh.
...put it out there, someone like Josh, sure, someone like Patricia or someone like Judge or who anybody that has a connection to the Patriots...
Not those two, stay away.
I would prefer not those two as well. I would be okay with Josh, but I think even that is sort of just dredging back the past. I'd rather you go with somebody new who's a bit more, I don't know... Maybe a bit less grading on his players than Josh McDaniels, but again, that's, you know.
But what if he's with Alex Van Pelt, who isn't grading, is
that's
really
true.
Really nice? Like, could you? And I would understand.
And if it's just to be like the assistant quarterback coach or something, but like if you're talking about a new offensive coordinator or something along those lines. And listen, I wouldn't have a problem with it being Josh. I just think that, in general, one of my biggest complaints with this new era of the Patriots is that they just keep hiring their old friends and. Those guys haven't had a ton of success outside of these walls, and lately they haven't had a lot of success inside the walls. So, you know, like, once Brady left, I feel like the shine came off a lot of these guys.
But I think my issue here, and I think maybe why Gerard is defensive, but he can't really go down this road, I can. Drake May's development is the least of this team's problems.
Agreed.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what I want to do later in the week. I want to revisit Patriots pillar power rankings.
Okay.
Because I think... we're significantly enough into the season where there may be some...
I'd have to go back and
changes
listen
there.
To what my first ones even
yeah,
were.
Yeah, when you do that, could you listen to mine too and let me know?
Sure.
Because I always think... But
I don't remember when we did it.
There is just an interesting evolution here, I feel like, in mm-hmm. terms of Elliott and coaching and May. Whatever. My point would be that personnel, bigger question. Guy, like, actual on-field personnel, bigger mm-hmm. issue. Guy making the decisions in personnel, bigger issue.
Yep.
Coaching as a head coach, setting the tone for the organization, being a spokesman, setting the culture, is an issue. There's almost everything else is an issue other than Drake May's development. That's where I'm with Gerard. Because if you just look at the facts of the situation,
mm-hmm.
he has developed quite nicely in a very short period of time with very limited opportunities to display his skills.
Yeah.
So that would annoy me, too. It's almost like if you're Gerard, you don't want to say, you know what we really need? Better assistant head coach to help me make decisions during games when it's mm-hmm. fourth and two.
Right.
And you can't say that.
No. But that, I mean, listen, you don't want to make it seem like you need help.
Right.
You don't want to make it seem like you're in over your head. You don't want to make it seem, and these are things that people have said about Gerard Mayo all year long. I mean, you know, this is exactly the type of criticisms that you know he's been hearing because he hears everything and he admits it. You know, all this noise gets through. Sometimes he lies and says, like, we try and block it out. You don't block right. out anything. You hear it all. And that's something people have been saying all year. And now it's coming to fruition in reports from ownership. Who he thinks or he claims to have a strong relationship with. And he should think he has a strong relationship with them. They hired him. They gave him this 5-year plan. It was a whole thing. I think maybe in some ways he was a little blindsided, right? Like, oh, wait, I didn't know about this.
Right.
It's false. It's not true. Yeah, we're developing him just fine. You don't know what you're talking about. Like that type of thing, right? That's what you say. If you're confident and you're secure about it, you don't react like that, I don't think. I'm trying to be an amateur psychologist now.
Right.
But doesn't that, right, you just said it, like, You blow it off. You say, "Yeah, that's not true."
Correct.
You don't get upset.
Like if they said they're going to replace me with Howard Stern on this show,
right?
Pretty sure I wouldn't pay any knowledge to it because unless they suddenly have $500 million like satellite radio does to pay him, I don't think Howard Stern's coming in
yeah.
here.
Yeah, and then he'd be paying two hosts $500 million.
That's true.
That's
a good
insane.
Point. Host one and host two would then be $500 million man.
Howard probably wouldn't like being host two, but you know.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Two yeah. liberal weenies, though, talking. Holy
true.
Moses, that show would be a tough listen.
Mm-hmm. Air America.
But what's bigger? If you find out that ownership is calling around, or you ask them about it, they tell you it never happened, and then you find out they lied to you. Isn't that the bigger issue?
Sure.
Do you think they lied to him?
Yeah.
Long pause.
Yeah,
really
no, I had to think about
there.
That. That was a good question. I think probably, yeah.
He's so adamant.
Or maybe they said, don't worry about it. It's not true. These guys make stuff up without actually denying it, without actually saying, no, come on, it's the media. You know the media. Don't worry about that stuff.
Whatever,
you just worry about coaching, Gerard, like, you know, but
whatever,
they don't actually deny it.
Whatever they said, he went on the radio and said, not true, never happened. Like, he was pretty adamant.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you're right. Maybe it gets lost in some interpretation, but that's what would really bother me if I were Gerard. It's one thing if I go, because I think he thinks he has a good relationship with Thunder,
mm-hmm.
and that Thunder and he are tied, and there's some strength in their bond, and that's, he's probably leaning on that to keep his job and believe there's a foundation here and all that. If I find out you lied to me, I feel like we're kind of going down the road of this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
If he doesn't trust him, that's what tears organizations apart, in my opinion. The Agreed. Coach, the GM, and the owner, when you start having like alliances, like it's Survivor and like the GM is with the owner, but the coach is out, or the coach is bad-mouthing the GM and then the GM is out. Like, mm-hmm. when you start to have trust issues between that power structure, you're going down the road of this ain't working.
Definitely. And also, this whole thing implies that they don't like the way he's being developed, right?
But
that
does he have to?
Kind of, yes. If they think that someone else has to come in and do something that they're not doing, then yes. I mean, that means you're not doing what we want you to do. Or we're not comfortable with the way things are going enough, so we think we need a little extra help for you guys and something like that, right? What?
Okay, so let me take another example. Because I don't necessarily think that's true. I think you can be happy with the current rookie development.
Then why mess with it?
Because maybe you have questions. Like, you want to maximize. You want to do the best you can. The Houston Texans, having a little bit of a step back year. Maybe it's not quite perfect. Maybe mm-hmm. it's not quite as good. Nick Caserio worked here for a long time.
Well, it'll be 7-4 after they wax the Cowboys tonight.
Yeah, well, yeah. But is it possible you would just talk about how have you handled year two? You guys did a great job. We're not even saying Drake May is there, mm-hmm. but how have you guys tried to maximize year two or continue the evolution, right? Like,
well, we know what they did. They signed Steph Diggs. Like, they went all out. Yeah.
And that's fine.
Right.
But, like, you can't ask that question? This is where I think, in some ways, the sensitivities of Van Pelt or Mayo could be over the top. That's where I wouldn't have denied it. And again, we're doing a lot of speculating, lies,
totally.
Denials.
100%.
But I would have said, yeah, I was talking to people about next year, like how we could maximize year two. Gerard, you said it yourself. Year two is the biggest jump. Bill had always believed that. You think that's going to happen to you. We're looking at it the same way. We want the biggest jump for this whole regime. You, AVP, May, and if we need to do something different to get that jump, this is what we want to do. Because that's where I think Bert Breer was very vague in sort of the way he reported.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't even know who made the calls.
Right.
The Crafts.
Right.
How many phones did it take? Because they're two people. Like, were there a speakerphone? Were they both on the call?
Was it even a call? Was it a
right.
meeting?
Was it rubbing elbows? Was it, you know, was it at golf? Was it at Mar-a-Lago? Was it at
right.
wherever the hell? Did they talk to Trump? Did they, like, I have no idea how this, so I think.
Love the Drake. Develop the Drake.
I could see him loving Drake.
I could see him loving Drake for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much everybody. Add him to the list.
Everyone loves Drake.
Why
yeah.
not?
Except that caller.
Except that one caller guy. from the earlier in the day. Yeah, other than that, everybody loves the Drake. It's true.
You're a hypothetical. That might be the greatest comeback in the history of sports.
I mean, how do you respond to that? Someone hits you with, you're a hypothetical. What are you supposed to do? It's like you're a towel in South Park. You know, there's no, right. no coming back from that. Checkmate. Checkmate, libs.
You're a hypothetical.
There you go.
Classic.
617-779-7937. Anything else before we get to odds and ends, Andy?
No, we've talked about these couple times as they go through this trying season. I do think this could be the most significant hurdle they've faced. And not the calls.
Breergate.
Yeah.
I shouldn't call it Breergate, but yeah, you know.
More the Gerard Mayo coming on here, sitting right in this area mm-hmm. and saying, never happened. You sure about that? Or did you ask somebody and they said it never happened and you're kind of secondhand never happened? Because if you go all in, and now you're kind of calling people out,
right,
who have good sources,
yeah,
they might be able to say, according to six sources, you called this team, this guy. That, like,
yeah.
We can detail it if you need us to. We were kind of vague the first time if you call us out. So it's an interesting story. I know I'm being a little overdramatic here, but these things happen when you have power structures, losing seasons, quarterbacks, and alliances. And I just... This is the first time I'm a little curious as how this plays out.
A little shooketh.
Not shooketh. He was shooketh.
He was a little shooketh.
He
yeah.
was shooketh.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was shooketh, I find interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. Well, it's time for odds and ends. I hate to quote Ricky from Trailer Park Boys.
Shut up.
I hate to say I told us so, but I told us so. That Tyson fight was a joke. We'll get to that in odds and ends next. Odds and Ends brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today. Your car could be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. And the number 4. Friday night. Can I tell you how I took in the fight on Friday night?
In various I don't know, splits or whatever by resetting your Netflix?
Well, I was watching the gals, right?
Tremendous.
Came on before. Good fight.
With the cut and everything?
So
she got hosed.
Yeah, she did. She landed way more punches, right?
Yes.
She threw like hundreds more
hosed.
Punches.
What a setup. It's rigged.
I'm not going to pretend I remember their names, but I do remember that. And
Serrano.
Something like Serrano.
Serrano.
Serrano. And
Pedro
yeah.
Serrano.
The other one, yeah.
Jesus, no help you hit curveball.
So I'm watching that fight. And I was tired. It was a long week. I was tired. I wasn't feeling great. And I pass out, right? My Netflix freezes
really?
On Serrano's bloodied face. So I wake up, and I see that, and it's like 1 in the morning. And I'm like, it's 1 in the morning, and this fight hasn't even freaking started yet? So
why
I said,
is she not moving?
God, like, you know, I figured Netflix is freezing up. It froze up right before I, you know, right before I woke up. It had been frozen for like an hour and a half, and I didn't even know. And so I went to live, and you hit, you know, go to live, and it's Jake Paul in the middle of the ring. Everybody's there, and he's like, yeah, we set the record. We broke Netflix tonight. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I missed the whole fight. So I rewound it, and I wish I hadn't.
It was
I mean,
awful.
I really wish I hadn't. That thing, it was as bad as I expected. It was really the sum of all fears for me. I thought maybe these guys would learn something from all the negative backlash they got from the Mayweather fight and some of these other ones that Jake Paul has done with these retired guys, Nate Diaz, and you know some of these older guys who don't even box really like full time.
Right.
And it was worse than those. Seeing Tyson's ass in the beginning after that interview he did with his son was hilarious. Him biting on his gloves got really sad after like a couple rounds.
Yep.
I was just like, it was almost like he was like a baby or something. You know what I mean? Like teething, like a teething child. And the actual fight was just dog crap. I mean, really, I tried to tell you all that these Jake Paul, Logan Paul fights are a waste of time. You watch them, you're done watching them, and you're like, why did I watch that? The only part of it that was worth anything was them walking out to the ring. That was it. Having Mike Tyson walk out to the ring and look super badass for 45 seconds or whatever it was the only redeeming thing of that entire broadcast. Honestly, that's it.
Yes.
It was the walkout. And I remember young Tyson walking out and being like, this is the baddest dude in the world. And you got to remember that for a few seconds. And then the fight starts and you're like, oh, right, he's 60 years old. He can't move. He can't. He has
Roy
no
Jones
balance.
Is like, I don't like his legs.
Yeah.
I don't like his legs.
And Roy Jones would know about it, you know, like that whole thing. Why was Rosie Perez there? By the way,
yeah, that was so random.
The whole thing was so weird.
It was so weird. But so poorly done.
Yeah.
And it was worse. I knew there was a chance the fight stunk.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it would stink that bad. Like, no punches would be thrown.
Yeah.
It wouldn't really even be a fight. And I wouldn't limit this to sports or these other fights or anything. This is one of the worst things I've ever watched. One of the things that made me think of, and you may not even be old enough for this, but when Geraldo went in Al Capone's vault.
Oh, yeah, right.
There was nothing there.
Yeah.
That's what this was. This was that version of, like, there's literally nothing here.
Mm-hmm.
There's no. And then you mix in, the more entertaining thing was actually going to Twitter and everybody, like, jointly bitching about Netflix and how it's, my experience there was, so my son went downstairs with his buddies in the basement to watch it, and then he texts me, he's like, is your Netflix working? Because it's really weird down here. I was like, yeah, it's a little glitchy, but it's, so they all come up, and they're just, like, at the middle of the ring to start the fight. And he goes, we already watched the first three rounds downstairs. What are you watching? I was literally a full three rounds behind because I had to restart it so many times. Netflix, I don't know what they're going to do when NFL fans try to watch, because a lot of people are going to be trying to watch on Christmas when you have a football game, and they're not going to be happy.
Yeah.
And their big WWE deal starts in January.
Yeah, they are like, even in the middle of the Jerry Jones is doing an interview and his mic goes off, and like,
yeah.
Michael Irvin has to like hand him his mic.
Here you
go, boss.
It
was such a low-end operation, the whole thing. And Rosie Perez, I mean, I guess she's a name, and I heard Billy Lanny talking about this. I guess she's a huge fight fan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay, so we're putting fans on now? Like, she brought nothing to the broadcast.
Hmm.
She brought absolutely nothing. It was such a letdown. They should have made the fight prior, the main event, because with the headbutt and the blood and the ref and the head, like the whole thing.
Yeah, but no one knew who those two people were.
Well,
and
I
no
do
one
now.
Cared. Right.
That
yeah,
was the highlight of the night for me.
It was a good fight.
A, it actually worked. B, I saw a headbutt and then like an eyelid flopping in the breeze when the woman's trying to fight. Then she got screwed. Even that ended in traditional boxing fashion,
mm-hmm.
where the person who won the fight gets screwed in the end. But this was the most unfulfilling thing I'd ever seen. You were right, but you were wrong in that you didn't even have it close to how unfulfilling it was going to be.
That's true.
You had me thinking it was going to be.
I undersold it.
Yeah. I told you
it was going to be bad.
But this makes bad would be good. I would have loved to reach bad status. This was sad, first of all. Mm-hmm. Not bad, sad. I felt bad for Mike Tyson. I think Jake Paul felt bad for Mike Tyson.
Yeah. Oh, he definitely went.
He realized I could knock this guy out, but why? I'm collecting my money. Let's just both finish. Give me the scorecard and walk away.
Do you guys give any credence? A lot of people, I just sent you guys a social media video, so of course you know it's true, that Mike Tyson, he was the one holding back, that he could have.
Yeah, I saw one of them was Paul.
People really get fooled by training videos.
When he was doing the tongue, he was warning him to not hit me so hard.
No, he wasn't. He was taunting.
It was Mike Tyson is toast. It was sad. It was the saddest thing I've ever seen because this was a bad.
I tried to tell you he was losing to guys Jake Paul 20 years ago.
You were right. I was wrong. I shouldn't have bet on Mike Tyson.
It's not just you. I mean, there was a lot of people who were a lot more adamant than you were that Mike still got it. I think
90% of the money was on Mike.
Well, it's because it was plus 200 or whatever.
But we were also betting on what we wanted to see.
Exactly.
And hoping to see. And it was nostalgic. And we were trying to go back to the glory days and rekindle something. I don't think many people who made those bets actually believed they were going to win. They might as well have just written it off right away. Like, call my tax guy. By the way, I got some gambling losses. Oh, the fight's not over yet. No. Don't worry. It'll be a loss. I'm losing this.
Yeah. It was bad. It was a bad night. I do wonder how they're going to fix this in time. Because, the Tom Brady roast, a lot of people watched that and they went off fine.
So
the production value was good.
What were the numbers on that?
That's a good question.
This was,
but I know
60
it was a
million
lot.
They said 60 million were watching this, which is a big number. I mean, I'm not disputing that. They got a lot of eyeballs on them and they should probably keep doing it. If you're gonna give me free fights and put big names on there, I'll keep watching.
Let's see, hours watched 68.7, it was viewed more than 22 million times from January to June. It doesn't say how many were watching at the for the whole thing when it was on that night. But it did break the streaming record for biggest ever weekly viewing time for a special in Nielsen streaming rating. So it was a lot. I think
2 million, if I'm reading this correctly.
2 million, that's it?
Oh, so this was 30
times
larger.
This is way more than that. Yeah, okay.
But still, shouldn't you have known that?
I see 14 million.
Okay,
maybe that was the whole week.
But even if it's 14 million, it's still four times that.
It's still way less.
But this is where I look at it, and I'm no expert. But Netflix is a huge business, huge corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Don't they have guys running numbers like how many people are going to watch? How many servers do we need? How many, to have the whole world mocking you universally on social media at what is supposed to be like a marquee event for you? I feel like probably some people are going to lose some jobs.
There was a great fake Twitter profile that went around that night, and the guy was like, his tweet earlier that day was like, "Hey, I just took on the new VP of Netflix streaming. Can't wait to get to work today."
And they should know, though, too, because they have how many videos that people stream every day?
Yeah.
That's all people do on Netflix is they stream from the...
And you know how many subscribers you have.
Yeah.
And you should be estimating, there should be high-end estimates, low-end estimates.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like, doesn't that just come down to servers and bandwidth and things that people can calculate?
Yes.
I don't know.
Should be able to calculate.
Apparently they didn't.
Apparently they did it. But honestly, anyone whose feed froze up means they got to watch less of the fight. So I guess everybody...
You're the true winners.
Sort of wins that way, unfortunately.
So
that's the way it is. All right, there you go. That's all the time we have here today. I want to say thanks to Drake May. I would like to say thanks also to Jonathan Jones, Stiz back in our studio, and of course, Brian here running video. Stick around because Mego and Fitzy will take you right up to Monday Night Football. It is the Battle of the Alamo. It is the Houston Texans and the Dallas Cowboys. Fitzy and Mego will have you up until then around 7:30. We're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll talk to you then. Oh, thanks to Maddie, too, by the way. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock right here on WEEI.
See ya.